And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to our Christmas Eve program. Arthur Anderson, our special guest, as we're talking about his incredible work as a spiritual warrior himself. His website is myprayerwarrior.com. We'll be back with your calls and Arthur in a moment on Coast to Coast.
God bless everyone on this Christmas Eve. This is afterlife researcher Sandra Champlain wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
Sandra, of course, one of our podcasters for Paranormal Podcast Network as well. Arthur Anderson with us, and his website is myprayerwarrior.com. Tell us more about that app, My Prayer Warrior app, Arthur.
Well, George, what it does is it's a mobile tool chest you can carry around that will teach you about spiritual warfare. So it's not a complete dissertation on spiritual warfare. It's meant to be a very condensed version. So when you go on there, it gives you the background of the warfare, who the participants are, and then what our authority is to take control over our lives, the lives of our families, others, and to pray for the world. And then it gives you specific prayers in there to go through. Like the order you do is you in the morning, like when I get up, I put on my spiritual armor. So you go through the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sandals of peace, shield of faith, the sword of the word. And it teaches you what those elements mean, and that's the first thing you put on. That's your tactical armor, okay? And then it teaches you to do strategic warfare, and that's when you're praying against the kingdom of Satan, right? So there's two types of prayers. There's imprecatory prayer, where you're praying against Satan, his satanic forces themselves. And then there's intercessory prayer, where you're praying for others, because we're, you know, which is funny, talking about quantum physics earlier in the show, quantum entanglement, is we're all tied together through Adam and Eve, right? In the energetic field, we're all tied together. And so, since we all relate back to Adam and Eve, we can intercede because we're all come from the same bloodline. We can intercede for others. So when other people are having problems or being afflicted, we can pray for them through intercessory prayer. So if you know somebody's having relationships, they're having a problem with their kids, as their brother in Christ or sister in Christ, you can pray for them and intercede for them. So you send the angelic host to them to war on their behalf to help them out. And that's a powerful tool. So it takes you through tactical prayers, strategic prayers, and these prayers are written out. And then I also pray the prayer. So if you're driving in your car and you want to follow along, you can follow along in that prayer. And then there's others that, like, if you're having problems with anger, fear, loneliness, there's specific prayers I've written out there that you can pray those in the morning if you're having illness. And then at the bottom of that, I put in some resources that has Amazon links, so you can go do more research for Bob Larson's books, Derek Prince's books, and so if you want to learn more about that, you can get these books and you can start doing research for yourself. But I wanted something mobile because, you know, I heard your caller talking about we need to do like a day of prayer, right? Turn things around.
He's right.
Exactly right. So what I wanted to do is put something out there so we could all every day put your armor on, do your tactical prayers where you're praying for yourself and protection for you and your family, and to do strategic prayers every day to go after the enemy, because that gives the angelic host permission every day to go out and war against the kingdom of Satan. Because for followers of Christ, George, this is the only hell we'll ever know. And hell is separate, is the absence of God. And when you're doing deliverance sessions and you're casting these demons out, the one thing they really fear is being cast into the pit, because even for them, it's the ultimate torment.
If an individual, Arthur, does not battle Satan, doesn't fight this off, what could happen to them?
Well, I mean, if you're not a threat to Satan's kingdom, chances are you're not going to be under continual spiritual warfare.
They don't need you.
You see, a lot of people who they're not followers of Christ, you know, they don't have any problems in their lives. So he's not a threat to their kingdom. If you're a serious threat to his kingdom, he's going to come against you. So you know when you're bombing over the target because you're taking a lot of flack. And trust me, I'm taking a lot of flack over the years teaching people this and doing deliverance sessions. And listen, so my experience has been not the theoretical, up in the grandstands of the arena. I've been down in the arena, and the information I'm putting out is just from my experience. Listen, all of it may not be exactly theoretical or biblically correct by different denominations and what they feel, but this has been my experience with my sword and shield dented and trying to help others and help my family, and these are tactics that I have found in the battlefield that have worked for me.
All right, to the phones now we go. Let's go to Elisa in Portland, Oregon to get us started. Hi, Elise.
Hi, George. I'm calling for a friend of mine.
All right.
She's been under mental and physical assault for a couple months now, and nobody sees these things but her, and they're like evil den. And she's tried everything. She's even gotten the church involved and did everything, clearings, holy water, prayers, everything, and they keep coming back, and she's about nearing a mental breakdown, I'm afraid, and I don't know what to suggest to her anymore.
Arthur, what do you think?
Well, listen, she's obviously under a really severe spiritual attack, and she needs some serious help. The Spiritual Freedom Church has access to people like myself who are all over the country that can help people like that. So you can look them up on the Internet. It's called the Spiritual Freedom Church. And just a disclaimer, I have no financial interest in working them. I went through the training and did that, but I don't have any financial interest in or tie-in with them. But they have links to all the people around the country who practice deliverance ministries and spiritual warfare, and they can tie her in with somebody who can help her. And then I also know that Bob does deliverance sessions over the Internet via Skype or Zoom. He uses one of those, and he's one of the few people who does that over the Internet. So if they can't find somebody who is in that town to do a personal session with her, I know they can do it over the Internet.
Have you ever been personally attacked, Arthur, doing what you're doing to help people?
Oh, you mean physically? Somebody showing up to my house?
Right.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. In 2015, I had an attempted home invasion robbery, and it was Easter morning, 1:45 a.m., and my wife got up to go to the restroom, and I heard this banging noise. She says, I think somebody's trying to break in the front door. So I said, oh, great. So grabbed my flashlight and my pistol, went to the door, and I looked through the side window, and there's a naked, wet guy smashing
the door. Oh, my God.
As hard as he possibly can. And so I had to put my shoulder against the door because the door is going to break in.
Yeah.
And I yelled to him. I said, listen, if you come inside this house, you're going to get hurt. And he didn't speak English. He spoke Spanish. Then he went around to the kitchen window, thought he'd break in there. So I met him over there, shined a flashlight in his eye, shined it on the gun. And that finally got through. It turned out the guy was on meth. That got his attention. So he ran and jumped in the pool, and my wife was on the phone
with the cops,
LAPD.
Yeah,
they got there in like 5 minutes. I mean, it was a miracle. It took them 20 minutes to get him out of the pool, another 20 minutes to get him strapped into the ambulance and get him out there. And by the grace of God, the timing on that was because right after that happened, there was a full tactical alert. There was a 1,000 people gathered on the road behind me, and they were drag racing. And if that call had happened before, a few minutes before she had called, it would have been a different situation. There'd have been no police available. They chased them all over the valley. So I don't know who sent that person. I have a feeling because of what I was doing that, you know, Satan has his ways of influencing people and doing things. So that was but, you know, we were ready. We had a flare prayer, and I had an implement to protect my family. And so it was always reassurance. So when I'm in situations like that, I always pray first, and I put the blood of Jesus Christ between me and whatever the event is, and then I have a way to defend myself.
A miracle that the guy wasn't armed.
Listen, it was the fact that he didn't make it through the door before I got up there was, I believe there were angels holding that.
Oh, absolutely. And it was just random that he picked your house.
Yes. Yeah.
Gosh.
What happened was he was high on meth, and what happens is your body just gets super heated up. So what he had done is come up to the property, dove in the pool, and then decided he was going to come inside. And he had the strength of like six people. I actually cracked a rib when he was hitting the door, which is no fun getting over. But you know, I believe the angels held the door closed till, you know.
I think so.
Like, you know. Yeah.
Let's go to Tracy in Kentucky. Hi, Trace. Merry Christmas.
Hi. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Well, I was just, you told me to call back on Christmas Eve. I called last Christmas Eve, and I was suicidal.
Oh, that's right. Thank God you're still with us.
Well, you said if I made it through, to call back. So I made it through. And
good for you.
Calling you back.
Are things better?
Yeah, a lot better. A whole lot better. Yeah.
Great. Arthur, I want you to jump in. This is one of our callers. He called us a year ago and was contemplating suicide. And I basically edged her on to stick with us and call us back a year later.
Yeah. So, Tracy, how did you handle it? How have you been dealing with it?
Well, I had a cat, and I just didn't know who would feed or take care of the cat if I was gone. So the cat kind of got me through tough times, you know, those first couple of days. And then I went out and bought a Bible, and I decided I'm just going to read a little bit every morning. And I've been reading that Bible every morning, and this part and that part. And I've been through it twice now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the part in there, Jesus said, and it's somewhere in Matthew or right in one of those Gospels, that he didn't come to judge the world, he came to serve the world. And I decided to get out of myself and try to help others and just forget about my mess and my issues, and they were, and I've got them. But if I just get out of myself and started trying to think about helping others in any way that I could,
you know, that,
anyway,
Tracy, you're doing the right thing. Because
I got through it, and I'm doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, that's great, Tracy.
That's good. And what you've discovered is that the Bible is the user's manual for our operating system. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So exactly what you're doing, and you're actuating. And now if you start taking warfare prayers, and listen, Satan's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. So every time he comes against you, he starts whispering in your ear, putting shame, guilt, you're worthless, there's no hope, you'll never amount to anything. God has a plan for each one of us. Each one of us has a mission to come together as a whole for the body. So your life still has a plan. As long as you're drawing breath, Tracy, and you can pray, you're in the battle and you're helping out. So don't ever consider that you're worthless. You have no contribution to make. But I'll tell you what, communist Chinese fear more than anything is an 85-year-old woman who has God's ear and knows how to do spiritual warfare, because that's stronger than a division
of
Marines coming after them.
And Tracy, you know the deal. Call us again next year. Every year, just keep pushing. One of our guests, Arthur, his name is Bill Bean, and he is called the Spiritual Warrior. He's on the line, wants to just chat for a second. Hey, Bill, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, George. I just had the big conversing here with Tommy D, and I said I wanted to call in and wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope everything is well, and I certainly pray that 2021 is going to be a much better year than 2020 has been.
Oh, we all hope so, indeed. And Arthur's on the line. You want to chat for just a little bit? You two are spiritual warriors. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Hi, Arthur. I've been listening to some of the show here, and I'm absolutely in agreement, so you know what you're talking about.
Well, it's hard lessons learned in the arena, Bill. And our job here now is the war is already won. Okay, that's the great thing about this battle. Jesus Christ came. He redeemed us out of Satan's kingdom. He rose from the dead. He gave us the power to come against the enemy. And the war is won. The one thing, you know, people mistake about Satan is Satan is not equal to God. He's a created being by God. You'd have to
correct,
like Archangel Michael, right? So he's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. And he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He's really smart, but he doesn't know everything. God works outside of time and space. He sees everything all at one time. And so that's the hope we have, is that he's a created being, and his end has already been written in Revelations. We know where he's going to end up. So our mission now is just to rescue as many people we can into the lifeboat, because his ship is sinking.
There's no question about that. A great, terrible day is coming, and it's coming sooner than later. And so I try each and every day, by the power of God working through me, to plant good seeds with people and try and lead them back before it is too late.
Amen. And you do a great job doing that. Bill, thanks for calling, and again, have a great Christmas. And you, Arthur, have you ever thought about converting what you do into a TV show?
Well, you know, it has crossed my mind. I'll tell you, you know, if people really want to understand and get a great grip on what spiritual warfare is, there's a great book to read out there that was written a number of years ago, and it's called This Present Darkness. And it's about a small town, and Frank Peretti did an awesome job of just making these characters come to life, the spiritual characters, the angels of Jesus, the angels of Satan, and the battle that the people were facing. They didn't see these angels, but you saw the story from their perspective. And it was actually made into a script back in the late 90s, which I read, and it was over, I think, at Paramount, and they were going to make it, and then the budget got too high, and back then visual effects were really expensive. It was going to be an expensive movie. But if I one story that I would eventually like to make, that would be a movie like that people could see the dynamics of the warfare that's going around them, you know.
Now, would you consider yourself an exorcist because of the international school program you took?
Yes, yes.
So you don't have to be Catholic to do one of those things?
No, no. You know, it's funny, like, every religion has an exorcist in them. I mean, the Muslims do, the Jewish, they call them different things.
Oh, and they take it seriously.
Yes, it is, very seriously. So, That was what my training was. The way I approached this app was, the first thing you want to do is to be able to protect yourself, to pray tactically and strategically. So that's what I tried to address in this app. And then if you find yourself, once you've started doing the spiritual warfare prayers, if you're still having major problems, like the woman who called in earlier, that's when you need an exorcist. In Protestant terms, they call it deliverance ministry. Catholics call it exorcist. So it's the same thing. It's just a kind of a difference in terms. But if you find yourself having serious problems that you know you can't deal with, then that's when you want to find an exorcist that can help you overcome those problems.
Arthur, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with you on our Christmas Eve special show. Arthur Anderson, our guest, with his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And at the end of the program, Lionel Fanthorpe's joining us with his rendition of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. On our next Coast to Coast program, our Christmas night program, for the first couple hours, Dr. Scott Kolbaba joins us to talk about miraculous things that physicians have seen and they've been witnesses to. We're really looking forward to that. And then we'll have some Christmas night miracle open lines, and you, of course, are invited.
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Hey, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. It's Christmas Eve, celebrating with Coast to Coast. Have a very Merry Christmas and a happy, happy evening, and look forward to the new year.
Daniel Brinkley, author of Saved by the Light, and of course doing great work for the veterans through his Twilight Brigade. Thank you for what you do, Daniel, when it comes to that. We're back with Arthur Anderson. We're going to take final phone calls here. And Arthur, thank you for spending your Christmas Eve night with us. I really appreciate that.
Hey, thank you so much, George. Listen, it's all about helping those who are suffering, and that's, you know, my profession is filmmaking, but my calling is to help save the lost, and I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity to get this information out to people.
Any film projects that you're working on that would get you back to L.A.?
Well, this year I was supposed to be working on a film that was going to be shot in France, so with the COVID stuff, that's up in the air right now, and so we're waiting to see how we're going to work that out, if we're going to be able to do it over in Europe or if we're going to have to bring it back home here. So it might be February, I might be coming back to L.A.
Well, let's hope things open up out there, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why I'm in St. Louis, because I left L.A. because everything's shut down.
Listen, I'm so blessed to be up in northern Idaho right now where everything is open. And I have friends and family working back in L.A., and it's really a tragic situation that everything's closed down, and, you know, and you can't do anything.
It is frustrating. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio to start. AC is with us. Hello, AC.
Merry Christmas, George and Arthur.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, AC.
Earlier in the program, you and George, the both of you, were talking about masks. And I wanted to draw a parallel from the Book of Revelation, which has great application to the corona crisis and what we're going through right now.
Okay.
In the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, verse 16, it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark." Now, in most of the states in the United States, there's a mask mandate. And the parallel is no one can buy or sell in person without wearing a mask.
So true.
Yep. No, that's
what happens when the vaccine becomes mandatory, Arthur?
Yeah. Well, listen, George, here's one thing, is that all these cities, you know, the federal government has immunity. State governments have immunity, but municipal governments don't have immunity. Now, the mandates that local cities and stuff are made, if you take your local city, you go to Dun & Bradstreet, you'll find the Dun & Bradstreet number. These municipalities are for-profit corporations. So no city, because that's why we had the Declaration of Independence. You know, the way our founders set up our country is it was God, man, and then government was underneath us, right? And so nobody can tell you that you have to do something to inject inside your body, right? Because you're sovereign. Under God, you're sovereign. So now if an employer tells you that you have to do that to work, it almost goes against the 14th Amendment. That becomes slavery because somebody's putting on you something that you have to do. So it's going to be a really big legal question when they come out and say, hey, you know, this is a mandate that you have to do this. I mean, are we going to give up our God-given rights, our sovereignty under God that, you know, we're going to do that? So this is going to be a huge legal question that comes up.
All right, let's go. AC, thanks. That was a great question. JP's with us in Carlsbad, California. Hi, JP.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Merry Christmas to everybody. Remember, this is supposed to be a holy day, not a holiday.
Good point.
Yes.
I mean, we've lost that. Listen, I love what this... Arthur, you're a great guy. Let me give you a little tip. This might help you. The letter J was not installed in the Hebrew alphabet until 402 years ago. That means that Christ was Yesus, not Jesus. That's when that J was put in there, that's when they became Jews. Before that, they were Jewish.
Well, that's interesting. A little bit of knowledge that we pick up here, Arthur, on the show.
Exactly. Hey, listen, none of us have complete knowledge and wisdom. Only God does. And I'm part of being part of his body is that we all find out information in different ways, and we all help each other. You know what I mean? I think that's the greatest thing about your show, George, is you bring in so many different ideas, healing, all the different healing shows that you have, that people have these different technologies, and otherwise people would know about this. So that's part of us all being a community, is sharing what we've learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is this field growing, Arthur, what you do?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, more and more people are starting to learn about it, because as we see revelations advancing before us, like he was talking about, you know, you have to take the mark to buy or sell. Well, you know, they've already got this luciferase thing they want to put on your hand that they can, you know, they'll be able to run a scanner over to tell if he's got the vaccine or not. So all the things that we're seeing in Revelations that lays out the plan for the end times, we're seeing the quickening happen now where all that's starting to come to fruition. So people are starting to go, wait a minute, what's going on here? And what can we do to defend ourselves against this? And I think, you know, the major thing I want to get across to people is that you're not alone and you're not defenseless. So these aren't just prayers you're going to be throwing up, oh God, help me. These are prayers that you're going to use, actionable prayers you're going to use to protect yourself and to help everybody else, strategic prayers going after these forces that are now ganging up against us to keep us isolated. Listen, Satan's a wolf, right? And we're sheep. So he tries to cut, like what the wolf pack does is they find the slowest or weakest sheep, they get them off to the side, and they kill them. And that's what he's trying to do to people now. He's trying to isolate them in their homes. He whispers lies into their ears and makes them lose hope, and they give up. And I'm here to tell you that you're not alone, and you're not defenseless. Everybody has the tools to come against this and to be victorious. Christ created us to be victors, not victims. And if I can get one point across to people tonight, that's what I want to get across to them. They're not alone, and they're not defenseless.
Let's go to Gabriel in Spokane, Washington. Hey, Gabe, welcome.
Hello.
You there?
Yeah. Is there any way to see how this works with the light workers who aren't maybe as mired in the idea of Satan being one?
What do you think of light workers, Arthur?
You know, I don't know too much about them. I only know that what I've learned works because I've seen it working with individuals, and I don't know too much about their work, so I really can't comment on that.
Okay. All right. Then Joe in Los Angeles, let's squeeze you in here, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Arthur. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Joe.
I was just seeing if you believe in a purgatory dimension or realm, you know, even the Catholic Church even kind of stopped teaching that, because when I went to CCD, like a Catholic school, you know, whatever it's other places call it a
limbo.
Sunday school. When I went to Sunday school, they didn't teach purgatory, but like older times they would teach purgatory.
Yeah, they did. In my days, they taught about purgatory, limbo. It doesn't come up anymore. That's just straight heaven and hell these days, Arthur.
Yes, I do. I had a lot of relatives who were Catholic, and, you know, they contributed to the church a lot because if they passed away, they wanted to be prayed out of purgatory, and they don't promote that very much anymore.
As we wrap things up, Arthur, give out your website, and can people get a hold of you through your website?
If people want to email me, I have an email address. It's a war for souls, FOR souls @gmail.com. And George, I want to give the people something free tonight. The app itself, I tried to keep it. It's a one-time fee. It's like the cost of a cup of coffee. But I want to give people who can't even do that something free. So if they go to my website, myprayerwarrior.com/pray, that'll give them access to put their email address in, and I send them the prayer of salvation, and I send them the armor of God prayer, so they can at least start with that. So I this isn't a money-making venture. I just want to get this information out there, and I want to give people tools to be able to defend themselves and to help their families.
And what do you do to protect yourself, Arthur? You know, if you come across all these spirits, what do you do to shield yourself?
Well, you know, like I was talking earlier, I get up in the morning, first thing I do is put on the armor of God. That the helmet of salvation protects your mind. The breastplate of righteousness is his righteousness, which makes us one with him, which is our salvation. The belt of truth, it lets you see things through his truth. The sandals of peace is his holy scriptures. You keep that on your feet, so wherever you go, that's with you. The shield of faith is your faith in him that puts him between you and the enemy. And the sword of his word is the Holy Scripture that you can use then tactically to protect yourself and strategically to war against his kingdom.
Super. Arthur, thank you. Have yourself a great Christmas, okay?
Thank you so much, George, and God bless everybody out there tonight.
Arthur Anderson, a Hollywood film producer and writer who is in Idaho right now while COVID is still rampant all over the place, including Los Angeles. And, of course, our other tradition, of course, on Christmas Eve is always to listen in on our dear friend Lionel Fanthorpe, who has given us something that is ageless and will stay with us until the end of time.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away, all! As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Classic, simply classic. Thanks for listening to our Christmas Eve show, Christmas night, right around the corner. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.